Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, Luke 19:10 says that He came to be yours, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're in that lost category today, I'll tell you what, listen, you can get in the right one. You can go from the wrong one to the right one. And it's all by the grace of God. It's all for the glory of God. But you and I that are lost, now, once we're lost and get saved, man, I'm telling you, it's all for our good. Debbie's got a song she's wanting to do for us. The title of it is, He Knew from the very start, He knew. I'll meet you after Debbie gets done in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll share the message with you there this day that God has laid on my heart. I'm glad you're here. Debbie and I are excited. We're humbled and we're honored that you chose to be with us. Oh, you pray for us, would you not, please?
From the beginning, the Father said to the Son, you must go and die for lost souls. He had in mind He would be crucified for the world, and that included me. He knew
together. You know what He did? He supplied it for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, at the most unusual place that a man could ever consider and in the most unusual way that a man could ever think of. Well, man may not think of it, but certainly God can. God can think of a place in a way whereby His wisdom and His power might be manifest in a way to bring Him glory and Him only glory throughout eternity. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be able to share in the Word of God with you today in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 30. And the Word of God says this, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Let me give you that again, since it's just one verse. May I read it again? "But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." I want to talk to you today for a little while, God willing. I want to talk to you about God's wisdom on display. God's wisdom on display. Now listen, you think about wisdom, and you think about displaying wisdom, how would you do it? I mean, if you wanted to show how wise you are and just what kind of intellect you possess, the fact that you may belong to the mints of society, how would you want to manifest the wisdom that you that you own, that you possess, that was yours, that you developed, that God maybe blessed? Hey, look, I'll tell you a place we wouldn't run to. We wouldn't run to a hill called Calvary. We wouldn't display it on an old rugged cross. We wouldn't show it to be manifest in a way where there was shame and pain and where there was all friendless and such gross display of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. Let me say it that way, if I may. That's exactly where God, who is omniscient, who is all wise, who possesses all knowledge of all things, great and small, for all time and all eternity, that's where He chose to display His wisdom. Isn't that amazing? So I want to talk to you a little while today, just like I said, about God's wisdom on display. Well, as we think about this book of Corinthians and those who made up the town of Corinth, those Corinthians themselves. My, what a group they were. Boy, aren't you glad, brothers, you that are in the ministry listening to this, say, aren't you glad that you weren't the pastor down there at Corinth, dealing with all those Corinthians? Well, we may have not been down there at that church, but just like then, it is now. There is no new thing under the sun. Oh, listen, friend, the Corinthians, they were a privileged church, were they not? I mean, if you look in this book, this letter, this first letter of three that I believe Paul wrote, we have two of them. God saw fit to preserve two and not the third one for whatever reason He had. Maybe we'll know more about it when we get to glory. But He saw fit to preserve two. And I'll tell you, in this first letter that we have, we see that they were privileged and gifted with just about anything and everything a New Testament church, a new believer in Christ Jesus would ever want. But they were a carnal bunch. I mean, to tell you, carnality ran deep. I mean, there were things that they rejoiced in or allowed or showed patience with that they should have been grieving over and mourning over and repenting over. They were a unique group, to say the least. There was division in that church. I mean, they were all separated either with Apollos or with Paul or Cephas. And Paul said, "Hey, folks, listen, you're not to follow a man unless it's the man Jesus Christ." And he said, "Hey, I got news for you. We're not dividing you. You've chosen to divide yourself, because Paul waters and Apollos, or Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it's God who giveth the increase. It's all about Him." So they were divided. There were many distractions at this church and in this body of believers who had been washed with the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, whose names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. There were many distractions in this church that Paul had to deal with, and all the difficulties. He said, "Listen, there are things done among you that are not even done among the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? And yet we have this letter wherein Paul calls them brothers and speaks to them and gives them some of the greatest truth that we find anywhere in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 13 on the power of love and the prominence, preeminence of love. There we find in chapter 12 and 14 the gifts and the correction of the misunderstanding of the gift of tongues in chapter 14. But oh, look, when Paul was writing all of this, doing all of this, you know what he did it from? He did it from a firm foundation. Paul, the great apostle, laid a firm foundation, and that foundation was laid at a place called Calvary. Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And he said, that foundation is Jesus Christ Himself. Look, friend, I'll tell you, Paul brought to bear man's wisdom in this first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, in light of divine wisdom, in light of the wisdom of Almighty God. Those philosophers, those intelligentsia, those Greeks, those religious wonders, all Paul laid bare man's wisdom as foolishness in light of divine wisdom manifest, bless God, in a way that religious man and philosophical man had discounted them as scandalous. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. All the Jews stumbled over the truths that their prophets had foretold of, and the Greeks said, Christ crucified, a God crucified. My, what a foolish thing that is. The Jews thought it scandalous, and the Greeks thought it foolishness. But oh, God said it's the power of God. God said it's the wisdom of God. How wonderful that it is. Why, Paul said to Agrippa in Acts 26:26, I believe it is, he said, listen, Agrippa, this thing was not done in a corner. When Paul was writing to the church of Colossus, he said this in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. He said, Christ, and I know the word isn't there, but it's meant, was blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and watch this, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, Calvary is the place of God's wisdom on display. My, what a great thing God did when He allowed His Son Jesus Christ to die on an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Listen, Calvary is both, the Word of God says here in verse 24, it's both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Both the power and the wisdom of God. That is displayed in an undeniable manner for both Jew and Gentile. He said, but unto them which are called again, both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, I ask you, sir, ma'am, if you were going to display your wisdom, if you were going to display your power, where would you make it to be manifest? Would you choose an old rugged cross? Would you choose the most heinous form of capital punishment ever known to man? Where would you, sir? Where would you, ma'am, display your wisdom? Oh, it'd be in a museum somewhere. It'd be in a library somewhere. It'd be in a place of marble, some kind of stone, some kind of valuable, precious metal. But God let His His wisdom and power be known at a place called Calvary. I'm going to tell you something man could not see, or something man could not see. He couldn't see the good in what was happening there at Calvary, let alone the glory of God that it was manifesting. But God said this in verse 26 and 27, "For you see, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are." And He tells us why, that no flesh could glory in His presence. Oh, I want you to know that God did something that man could not see. You know what He did? That man couldn't see God's glory in that. I crossed that place called Calvary. But God, listen, took the base things of the world and He confounded those who thought themselves to be wise. And you know how He did it? He did it in allowing His Son to die at Calvary. Now I want you to know something, friend. Out of the supposed foolishness and in spite of the stumbling stone that the Greeks and the Jews thought, God purchased, God provided, God presented all that a holy God and sinful man would need. And the purpose is given in verse 29 and 31, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And that verse 31 goes on to say, according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Hey, I want you to know something, friend. And especially you, sinner friend, Calvary assures for eternity that God and God alone is to be glorified for the salvation of sinners like me and you. And it's there at Calvary, that old rugged cross, that His wisdom, God's wisdom again, bless God in all its holy display and all that His holiness demands and sinful man needs are provided by a display of God's wisdom at Calvary. Oh, I don't understand God. His ways are past finding out. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are God's ways above mine. So are God's thoughts above my thoughts. Well, I may not understand God, but God does. But listen to what He said in verse 30. "But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." You know what that says? That says God in Christ dying at Calvary provided for me and you, sir, ma'am, what we could not provide for ourselves, what religion couldn't provide, what wisdom could not provide. But God, in giving of His Son, when He was suspended between the heaven and the earth, have provided for a sinner like me and you. And He said the first thing is righteousness. You know man has some righteousness, but it's not enough. It's not the right kind. It's not the kind that God can accept. God even said that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, friend, it's totally lacking before a God who is holy. But oh, thank God, aren't you glad today that God provided something for us that we could not provide? God provided us something that would give us a standing before Him. That is sure, a standing before Him. That is secure, a standing before Him. That is eternal. Thank God, I'll tell you, friend, I'm glad that it does. The definition of righteousness is this. It is a judicial act by God Almighty, wherein, in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, God is able to declare the believing sinner righteous while still in a sinning state. Thank God, I'll tell you, friend, listen, you need some righteousness, sir, ma'am. You need it if you want to have an ability ability to stand before God, hear Him say, well done someday, and you can't muster it yourself. You got to submit to Christ. You got to go to that one that died at Calvary and say, oh God, put your righteousness on me by faith, that righteousness of your Son that can be put on my account. Oh God, you said that in Christ would be my redemption. Not only that, my sanctification. You know what God was saying there? God was saying we've been chosen. Those who put their trust in Christ. Those, to look at that phrase, in Christ here in verse 30. I bless God those of us who have been set apart. Those of us who have been chosen by Him, for Him, to Him. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Thank God, in an instant, in an event, bless God, at an altar of prayer, we are immediately set aside for the glory of God, for His use, for His service. And all those sanctification is in its initiation, an instantaneous work. It is there on end till the time that believer is changed into the likeness of Christ. In the end, it is a continual process between man and God to become more like His Son. Whoa, it's progressive after it is instantaneous. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, we're to serve the Lord. But let me give you the last one real quick. And all three of these demand way more time than what I'm giving them today. But not only is God in Christ at Calvary provide for the sinner righteousness, sanctification, but our redemption. Thank God freely. That's what He said in Romans 3:24, who has justified us freely without finding a cause within us. Listen, friend, we're sinners. We're lost and bound for a devil's hell. We're depraved. We're fallen. My, we've got a fallen nature about us. But all this man, Jesus, came into the marketplace of sin. I came to the place where you and I, sir, ma'am, were being purchased. We had been sold to sin. And you know what He did? I thank God with the shedding of His blood, He purchased us. He paid the price of our redemption. Made us a peculiar treasure in Him. And in doing so, assured us forever. I thank God that that once we are bought out of the slave traffic of sin, once we're bought from the auction block of sin, once we've been liberated, bless God, and torn away from the hold that sin and Satan has, we're free, thank God, and we're free indeed. And the price was the blood of the Lamb. Our redemption is complete. Thank God. Listen, you say, how do you know? With two things. He said it is finished when He still hung on the cross in John 19:31. And the Bible said that after He descended or ascended, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And now when you sit down, that means you're done. You're finished. He said it is finished, and it is. My redemption, sir, and yours, ma'am, will be. It's already been completed. All you need to do is accept Him. Thank God. But listen, I want you to know it's going to be totally completed when He returns to get all of us who have put our trust in Him, and we're changed into His likeness finally, completely, for eternity. Now let me ask you, sir, ma'am, now let me ask you, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in religion? Are you trusting in some kind of intellect that you have? Some kind of philosophy? Some kind of ideology? Some kind of man-made theology? I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust in that bleeding and bruised man at Calvary. That one that thief said, Lord. I remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm going to listen, friend. I trust him who said I am. I am that I am. I'm going to trust him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, look, run to him. I run to him, sir. I tell him that your wisdom is foolishness, and that your strength is weakness, and that you need him to make you a new creature in Christ, that you need him to do a work of a regeneration. And let me say this word, palingenesia, out of Titus 3:5. Whoa, friend, he'll regenerate you, make you a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He'll birth you into the family of God by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And I'll tell you, you'll become a new creature, like I just said, in Christ. You'll get in him, thank God. Whoa, he'll give you the right standing before a holy God. He'll put on your account what you can't put on your account. You'll have that right thing that you need to hear God say the right thing to you one day. Well done, thou good and faithful. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, friend, I hope that you see God's wisdom around you. Until next time, pray for me. Join me.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomandDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.